allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is the September 16th, 2019 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Kilda?
Absent.
Ms. Kleinhan?
Here.
Mr. Kochanowski?
Absent.
Mr. Lazarus?
Here.
Mr. Scheich?
Here.
And Mr. Sinai?
Here.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. First up, we have meeting minutes from August 19th, 2019. They were previously distributed. Mm-hmm. If anybody has any remaining questions or concerns, now would be the time. If not, will someone on the eligible list there make a motion?
I'll make a motion. Second.
Thank you. Mr. Scheich and Mr. Lazarus, roll call.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhan?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Sime?
Yes.
The motion carries. And Ms. Kleinhan, I did make those technical changes.
Thank you. Oh, we have no resolutions.
No.
We're going straight to business. We have a public hearing this evening. ExxonMobil Research and Engineering Company, Block 30, Lots 17, 30, 31, and 41, Block 3002, Lot 1, Block 31, Lot 1, 1545, 22 East, Application 201904. Applicant is seeking amended preliminary and final site plan approval to make permanent the existing truck stacking lane, truck turnaround, and security gate at the campus entrance on Route 31, originally approved on a temporary basis.
I need your cues.
So Mr. Glaser and Mr. Mayor Higgins are recusing.
And Mr. Scheich.
And Mr. Scheich as well.
Boy, was it something I said.
I didn't say anything yet.
Find out on
I hope.
Yeah.
We do.
Yes, we do.
So we're good.
Cards?
Okay.
Well, thank you. For the record, Tom Allman and Dave Pitney on behalf of Exxon. And you kind of summarized the nature of the application. It's relatively small in scale. It's an application to make permanent certain improvements to the gatehouse that were installed on a temporary basis as part of the last major site plan application that we had, I guess, a couple of years ago. We have one witness, Rob Michello from Gladstone Design. Also here, Russ Giglio from Exxon, and Gary Deans, our traffic consultant, in case questions come up. We have your reports, and we're happy to go through those tonight, but we have no objections. We will discuss one comment in Ms. Marcelli's report, but other than that, we have no objections. So unless you have questions of me, I'll call Mr. Michello, and we'll run through it for you.
All right, I'm going to swear you in, and I'll swear the board engineer in also. Do you swear to tell the truth in the matter pending before the board?
I do.
State your name and address, please.
Robert Moschello, and the address is 265 Main Street, Gladstone, New Jersey.
Kathleen Marcelli, board engineer.
And you're a licensed engineer in this state?
Yes.
You've testified here before?
Yes, I have.
Do you care to hear his qualifications? Or?
No, he's testified here before. Mm-hmm. You okay on the board?
Yes.
Yep.
His firm prepared the plans.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Before you jump in real quick, I see in the audience there's everybody here is with Exxon. Is there anybody from the public?
From Exxon and Gary Deans, our traffic.
I'll just note that there is nobody else from the public.
Let's just mark the two boards. You have A1 will be the overall site. Is that correct?
So, yes, A1 is entitled Aerial Exhibit. It's dated September 16th, 2019.
And then A2 would be a blow-up of the area in question.
A2, which is entitled Route 31 Entrance Exhibit, and that's also dated September 16th, 2019. And this is a rendering of the improvements.
Terrific. So let me spend just a couple minutes with A1, just to orient the board, the Exxon property, and where we are.
Yes. So looking at the map here I have on the screen, it's the 2015 state aerial. So this
is a little
slower. Sorry. So the image that I have here on the board is the 2015 state aerial. It was taken, of course, before any of the improvements that were done on the property. And what you have is north being up on the plan, Route 22 running in an east-west direction, Route 78 running in that same east-to-west direction, Route 31, which is on the western side or the left side of the plan, running in the north-south direction that's on the plan there. And then the overall campus itself, as was pointed out previously, is comprised of a number of lots that comprise the total campus. That's the overall property that's outlined in yellow here on the plan, and it's approximately 757 acres that makes up the entire Exxon campus.
Where's the main entrance?
And the main entrance, there's actually two entrances to the property. The main entrance is off of Route 22 at a signalized intersection where you come in off of 22. It's a split, divided entry and exit to a gatehouse or guardhouse that's a staffed guardhouse that's there today, where they control primarily the majority of the employees come in that way, visitors enter that way, and deliveries also enter that way as well. And that was the operation as it occurred prior to the construction. Once you enter into the property, there is the main campus itself with the main building, the parking facilities, and the research area, which was the subject of the prior applications and the approvals that were granted. And you have a loop road which goes through the entire property, past the physical plant where the treatment plant is, comes down to the south, and then actually exits back out to Route 31 at Regional Road. And that is the secondary entrance to the property. It's a gated entrance right off the interchange or jug handle. And that entrance, primarily before the construction occurred, was used by employees to enter and exit the site. There's a card reader there, and they would badge in to enter the site. And then if they're exiting, the gate arm would open up and allow them to exit. But that was primarily employees only, and if Exxon needed to bring something in that way.
And where was that gate located?
And that gate is located just to the right of this yellow line that's on the plan here. You could actually see the gate when you're at the intersection of Route 31 and in Region Road. And that gate is there's two gates there, they've been there for a long time, and they're going to continue to remain there.
Okay, so what's going on tonight? What's the application about?
Before I go to the next board, the focus or location of this application is where my pointer is on the plan right here, just to the north of that Route 31 entrance is where these improvements were installed. And the next exhibit that I have is A2, which is a rendered version of a portion of the site plan that was submitted, along with an aerial up here in the upper right-hand corner. And what you see here on this aerial is the intersection of Route 31 and Regional Road. You have the turnoff that comes off of 31 on the northbound side that comes into a T-intersection with Regional Road, and you have the driveway that comes into the site, and the improvements are shaded in here in a gray on the plan. And the purpose of this originally was, once we started the on-site improvements, the original approval, this was temporarily constructed to allow Exxon to manage deliveries and visitors that were coming into the property for the construction activities that were occurring on the site. So instead of bringing those large trucks and visitors off of 22, they were able to bring them in off of 31. We created approximately 350-foot long, 14.5-foot wide staging area where trucks could stack up and park here as a security was able to process them, confirm their credentials, inspect them, and then allow them to enter the site for construction purposes. We also provided an approximately 80-foot wide turnaround or quasi-cul-de-sac area for those trucks that were rejected or not allowed to enter into the site, so they can turn around and then be sent back out and exit the site. So this pavement that you see on the right side of the plan was constructed, and this cul-de-sac area was also constructed as part of the temporary improvements. They also built a 4x8 guard shack that was placed there, as well as an island with gates for both the ingress and egress lanes that would control entry at that point into the site. So all those were constructed as temporary improvements during construction, and it was originally intent to remove it all once construction was completed, but based upon the activities that were occurring on the property and how they were able to utilize this entrance for not only the construction activities but also deliveries that come to the camp, that come to the campus on a weekly basis or daily basis, and being able to have these facilities in place to have a guardhouse out there, to have a presence at that location, Exxon felt that it would be beneficial to make these improvements permanent.
They liked having it.
Correct. So in order to make them permanent, we did add approximately 15,000 square feet of impervious coverage to the site, which technically triggers a stormwater component to it that was not constructed because it was originally temporary. So we have to come in here and propose and construct a stormwater basin to the northwest of that parking area that would provide attenuation, water quality, and recharge for the improvements. Also, too, because these are now permanent improvements, we've also added landscaping to the plan, approximately 27 trees that basically line the driveway on both sides to enhance the visual of the area. And also, too, based upon the township's landscape consultant, he went out and looked at the condition of the vegetation that's at that entrance when you come off of 31 and realized that there were a couple of areas where there were trees there at one time that had actually either been cut down or died over time. So he had asked us to infill or implant in that area some additional trees to fill in the missing gaps in the vegetation that was there to kind of regrow in that tree row on both sides of that entrance when you come off of a 31. We've agreed to do that as well. And he also asked for some additional shrub plantings in the basin, which we can certainly provide.
Okay, so we're referring to the Bozenberg report dated September the 9th.
That's correct.
And we're going to comply with the recommendation.
That is correct.
There's also a report from Burgess Associates. This is dated, looks like, also September 9th. Any objection to the comments, Mr. Chairman?
No, and I believe there was a comment in there asking about lighting, as to whether or not there'd be any lighting out here. And essentially, it's a secondary entrance. There's no lighting proposed at this location. It's going to just be the on-ground improvements that you see. No need for any permanent light fixtures to illuminate the area.
Okay. Report from M2 Associates. This is the geologist.
Yes, and the recommendations in that report was to not actually do recharge in the footprint of this basin. The test pits that were done out there actually showed some karst geologic conditions underneath the basin. So they recommend no infiltration. In Ms. Marcelli's report, she mentions the need to provide recharge, and we went back and looked at the calculations, and we have a credit based upon what we've proposed for the overall campus when we built the parking lot improvements, the research area improvements, and the walking trail. So we'll provide the calculations to her office to show that we can offset the impervious here with that credit and then basically install a liner in the basin so that we don't have any sinkhole issues at that location.
All right, so you mentioned Ms. Marcello's report. So in terms of the recommendations made regarding, I would call them technical items, no objections?
That is correct.
There's a comment regarding restricting traffic on this entrance. Can you just comment on that briefly?
That is correct. It's the comment on number 3 at the end of her report, talking about restricting this entrance to only delivery vehicles and not employees. In the instance here, Exxon's employees were using this entrance prior to these improvements. They'd like to continue to utilize this entrance for employees who come from Route 31, either north or southbound, into the site. So we'd ask that we can modify that comment to remove the restriction of only deliveries to this location. And I believe the recommendation was that in order to, Ms. Marcelli would be comfortable if Exxon would, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I state this the wrong way, agree to provide a traffic report or investigation in the future should it arise that there's traffic issues that could occur at this interchange due to Exxon traffic in the future that would be using this interchange that would affect Region Road and the high school itself.
If our traffic were backing up into that or something.
Correct. If our traffic was causing a backup and it would primarily be in the morning hours when school was starting and the people using that entrance to come in and affecting the residents getting to the school.
But we don't anticipate that's going to happen.
Correct. It hasn't occurred yet, and we don't anticipate that. But we would agree to provide whatever study would be needed at the appropriate time should a situation arise.
This temporary...
Can I just add to that? Just the study, but any improvements that come as a result of that study. So if the study said you have to add additional lanes or change the timing, that Exxon would be responsible for any of those improvements. If it resulted from the traffic generated from Exxon. Obviously, if it's background traffic, it's not going to make any contribution or any changes. I just don't want to study it.
It's just hard to commit to that now without knowing what it's going to be. I think maybe we could be a pro rata share, for instance. I think my sense is we'd be one. If we're causing trouble, we should certainly be accountable for that, and we should study it. But how can we agree to make improvements if we don't really know what the...
How about come back to the board?
That's fine.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
If it does generate a need for additional study, you'll come back to the board for an amended site plan approval.
I think that's fine.
Okay.
You don't envision fundamental change in operations. You already had employees using both entrances.
Exactly.
And they, in this new world, they'll still be using both entrances. And this, you're going to encourage trucks.
Yeah, in fact, big picture, traffic should go down because the construction's been ramping down. A lot of the work has been done on site already, so that construction traffic flow is going to be reduced significantly from what it was, say, a year or so ago.
So the few delivery trucks that would have gone, let's say they're coming 31 northbound and have to loop around to get to the 22 entrance, would now be able to come in and go out this way. So it's just basically taking some of that traffic off of 22 and putting it over here to 31. And those are the typical delivery trucks that would be coming to the site anyway.
That was my only concern. I mean, that intersection is a mess twice a day, right? I mean, when school's getting in, school's going out. So, I mean, then I think your report obviously speaks to that, you know, you don't anticipate increased truck traffic, right? It's just more or less the usual three trucks a day.
Correct, yes.
That's right.
Correct.
And so I think that's all we have. Happy to answer any more questions. I think we've covered the report. There was a Highlands consistency determination. Maybe you've seen that in your package. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a Highlands consistency determination in your package. Hunterdon County Planning Board has also approved it. And we've agreed to all the comments and reports with that one revision.
Okay. Anything from...
Just have one question, Rob. Does a gas main exist within that easement?
Oh, yes. There is a gas main within that easement, and we will locate the main and determine the depth of it. And if I have to extend the discharge pipe a little bit further downstream, I will do that. There's an existing swale that's there today on the edge of the driveway, and that's what we were discharging back into. But if there's any conflict with the gas main, I'll adjust the discharge pipe.
Are there any restrictions about constructing any facilities within that easement? Like some of your basin, I think, is in the portion of that easement, correct?
No, as far as I know, there's no restrictions on grading and doing work in around the easement. It's the gas line that serves the campus.
So if you can provide the easement language, so you can make sure there's no covenants.
We'll do that.
Thank you.
I have a question. Is there a gate where the new Garrett House is there?
There's lift arms. So, yes, so you call the gate arm that's installed there that will act as a control mechanism when people come into the site.
So that's, if an employee comes in there, that entrance, then he uses his car to get in the first?
Yes, correct.
And then
because there's two sets of gates, there's a gate out at 31 and there's a gate internal to the site.
Yes.
When this is manned during the day, let's say, the gate at 31 is open.
I see. Okay.
So they would come into here and be controlled here. When there's nobody here, the gate at 31 is closed and they leave this open. So once the employee at 31, once they swipe in at 31, then they would not have to swipe in again when they come into the site.
Okay. Anything else from... There is no public.
Yeah, I think on the traffic assessment side, I echo the sentiment that you raised earlier on the sensitivity for 31. And obviously that's where we're going to kind of be scrutinized a little bit more closely. And I think if the anticipated traffic flow now and certainly in going forward doesn't exceed a volume that from that assessment point of view could reasonably be absorbed, then I think to me this is largely an established proceeding here.
Any other questions?
Any other questions? So if, I guess we'll close the public part of the hearing here. We're at basically the amended preliminary and final site plan approval, subject to meeting all of those professional letters with conditions. Was there one exception?
Just one exception, yeah, that we talked about regarding the restriction on the access to use of the 31.
And we're okay with that?
Yes.
So with that, anything I'm missing?
No, I think it's compliance with all those reports, except for the one comment in Ms. Marcelli's memo that we just mentioned. the traffic study in the future if necessary.
Right, if necessary.
If we're causing.
If you're causing it in the future, and then if, if something came out of that, we would come back.
We'll come back
to the
and
board.
We'll talk about it.
And then I think you also asked for the, you wanted to review the gas line easement?
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
That's it.
Okay. So, my fellow board members, is there a motion for that?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Lazarus and Ms. Butcher. Is it roll call, please?
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Ms. Linehan?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
And Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Would you like it to leave the boards, please?
Yes. Actually, can you take it? Yes, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. You forgot it again? Oh. You should always have it in your bag.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night.
Vouchers. They were sent out with the communication. I've reviewed them. I'm okay. Are there any other questions?
What's the $10?
Thank you.
I was just going to say, which I'm going to let you explanation. So we have a new CFO, and she's very by the book, which is a good thing. And basically, when any money is spent in the township, the funds need to be encumbered first. Mm-hmm. That's a requirement by law. It wasn't the way we were doing it with escrow. And in the past, it was looked at differently by prior CFOs because the escrow funds are not township funds. Okay? But the management of the money still needs to fall under the same guidelines and restrictions. So what we have to do is create a purchase order. Let me back up. So we have an application Exxon. So as soon as I get an application going forward, what I'm going to do is enter a purchase order in the system for each professional that will be billing on that application. Not knowing what amounts there are going to be, the CFO determined, let's just do a blanket purchase order for each applicant and each professional for $10. And then in the finance department, when the actual bill comes in, we'll work off the same PO. So, for example, if these were all for John Drill, mm-hmm. it'll be the same purchase order. Remember, if he bills again for Exxon, we'll use the same purchase order. Cool. And then they will adjust the funds accordingly. But the encumbrance has to be set up prior to the payment.
I'll go with it.
That's what Lori wants to do.
Typically the PO is a three-way match, right?
You get approval.
You get approval to buy the widget for X. That gives you the approval to buy it. Then you get the receipt and you match them all up. This concept where you don't know what the professionals are going to cost you, then you can't do a purchase order because you don't know what the final amount is.
You're applying corporate finance to me.
But you're kind of applying something that, to me, I'm not going to quibble with it.
Well, wait, I agree, and we had many discussions, nice discussions, but we had a lot of discussions, and also with Deb, the finance person, because this creates more work for me and more work for her, and sure. We understand. But taking it a step further, we're creating an encumbrance, but we're not doing it for the right amount.
That's the point. You're only doing $10.
Right.
You, in theory, you should do an average of a bill is about, but again, I don't.
Yeah.
Because
when you
do the escrow, you're supposed to be estimating or whatever, right, Kevin? Or whatever.
Yeah. So it's, you know, because for example, if they post $2,000 in escrow, and say I'm going to have three professionals. Well, I could say, okay, I'll put $650, you know, whatever, for each person. But you know that's never going to be right.
Right.
So no matter, we talk to all ways, and no matter how we do it, we're never going to have the numbers right.
I never, it's just me, I never looked at, when I look at the vouchers, I look at the bills.
Me too.
Right.
And that's what we're approving, and I like that the control I like that we do is it's copied to the applicant so they see it.
Yes.
We look at it for sensibility and what we know. If there was a PO before, you know, I never even paid attention. I just view it as, but I had the same question Sue had, which was, why are these $10?
It was always an absent fact PO, which is probably what Lori's objection was.
Exactly. Right. That's what it is. And it becomes an auditing thing where we can get a little stuff on the
We are using POs versus not. So that makes some sense?
Why is it $10? Why isn't that just $1? I mean, if
because we talked if you want to do $10, you want to do $100, and everybody was like, okay, $10 it is. That was,
but it's a meaningless thing anyway, so make it a meaningless $1. I mean,
that's where I
view it. If it's meaningless, why make it $10?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. I mean,
but Sue, how many conversations did you get to that $10? unless someone really strongly feels I should ask to have it changed.
Well, I have to go back to the office tomorrow and tell Drill he can't bill more than $10.
That's so telling.
There you go.
Good luck.
You should tell him $1. That would really be
that won't even better. Get us one page of a resolution.
That's so fine. So I know I had asked, but I was letting it go to see if somebody else was going to ask.
And I expected it.
So with that minor new twist to our procedures, I'm okay. I'll make a motion. Was there a second?
I'll second.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Pickens?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Sinai?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. We have just if there's some reports, and I guess if you folks want to wrap up or if you want to stay, you can. But I'm happy to let you wrap up.
Well, unfortunately, I'm a Jet fan, so.
I feel sorry for you.
I feel your pain.
I don't. All right. Good night, everybody.
Thanks. All right.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael. Nice meeting you.
All right. Take care.
So, reports, is there anything worth reporting from council?
So we hired two new officers, one of whom is a refugee from the prosecutor's office, the first time the flow has been going that way.
Wow.
That's a good thing.
That's interesting.
Yeah. We also had a compliance plan for our annual audit. It wasn't a great audit, but that reflected the previous CFO's work, and you know, we had kind of a clean cut there at the end of the year, but it wasn't bad. What else? We adopted the ordinance for the farmers markets. I know, I'm sure Immaculate Conception is happy about that. I know Juniper Hill is.
Okay. Immaculate had something scheduled for October already, I think.
they were hot after Carla on that. And we approved spending, I think it was $22,000 to paint this building for the first time in anybody's recollection.
Wow.
Well, we
big spenders.
The budget's going in the right direction now. Life is not amazing, but it's very good.
Is that indoor or outdoor?
Indoor.
Indoor. Yeah. The whole everything?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the.
I see it working.
Chair molding right. Stuff here. So we'll see what it looks like. I don't know what the colors are. Not my thing.
Well, it looks like they're turning green here instead of that that pinky pink. See?
Yeah.
See the difference?
You know, that looks great to me.
That's gray.
Yeah. Like, it's,
yeah.
That's the new color. It's like green gray.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, you're right. It does have a little olive tint.
Yeah. Yeah. Any town with a lot of colonial buildings has that color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here
yeah.
And there.
That's
up
in cheap paint with that.
For Richfield town.
Does that have a name, that paint?
Drab.
No.
I mean, yeah, I just meant color.
I
They all have some kind of
I stay out of that at home.
Fancy Davis.
As well as at work.
Like autumn gray or something like that.
Or something in French.
And we, the new OIC gave out awards to a bunch of people, a couple of guys from the Reddington Police Department in particular. We have, I don't know, 3 police dogs. Good gosh. It must have been, I mean, it was basically all the chairs are full of police, family, and
that's nice.
And the dogs and everything else. So, these are the folks that found Ryan and Harry after we've been out for what, the 2 nights and well, a day and 2
yeah.
days. So that was a nice thing and very well received. It was a really, really get together with the police folks, and it was on 9/11 besides, so there was a certain, you know, sort of synergy. That's about it. We didn't do anything remarkably large, but it was a good meeting.
Put the application in for the financing. The
application for this. Oh, yeah, Marufi and the financing was applied for. That deadline was September 12, and the application went in on time. We had to dance a little bit with the county to take out words that said we would start that bus route after the construction was complete, because that would have ensured that we never got any financing. But they were good to work with, Kevin Davis, that is. So it's a perfect point scale at this point. And we have a couple of tiebreakers. It's hideously competitive because of the number of settlements that have been reached. And the forecast, if we don't get the financing, is it's about a $4.1 million budget. So,
$4.1 million, what was that?
If we get the financing, we made our contribution, we're done, like we did on Beaver Avenue. If we go down to the 4% tranche, then probably will cost us, we'll have to bond for roughly $4.1 million. So fingers, toes, and everything else crossed on this one. And again, we got Beaver Avenue because we very aggressive.
Ahead of the, you know, yeah, the, I mean, the majority of municipalities in Jersey.
Yeah. And now there's 280 plus towns that are settled. So, and about 40% of the grants are destined to inner cities. With a better euphemism than that, but in the QAP, there's not much left over for
does
us.
Does the fact we already got financed for one project make it less likely we'll get financed for a second one?
No, not in the formal QAP. If we, for instance, there's sort of a multiplicative effect here in a funny way. If we get financing this time, the 9% tranche, then we have to wait another year. We have to have an intervening year with no application. So that would push the comp off.
Right.
So it's like a double whammy. If we don't get the financing, then we have to bond for this one, and the comp can apply. That project can proceed without one.
Okay.
So it's so we'll see. Very hopeful. It was worth $6 million at the Beaver Avenue project.
Wow.
And the schedule for Beaver Avenue, they think, which seems optimistic, having walked through the building last week, they believe the old mansion will be done on or about Thanksgiving.
Really?
I think in Christmas. And
wow.
Once that building is done, they're going to start taking applications.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that they will have at least one, probably 2 buildings ready for occupancy around Thanksgiving.
Wow.
But yeah, they've offered to do a, you know, kind of a community presentation. They just have to find a venue and, you know, set up.
Have you been getting a lot of feedback from the public about it? Or?
Increase here and there.
Yeah, I've gotten some inquiries, and as a matter of fact, I contacted Jeff Long from Ingerman, and they sent me an email address and where people can send. It's not manned just yet. It probably will be when they get in the building. But at least all the inquiries will go in there, and then once they open up the process, then people start to get responses. So I actually sent that to everyone in the building, should be inquiries.
I'm sorry, I kind of meant like just general resident feedback about the project.
Yeah, you know, it's phone calls here and there from some fairly unlikely people, in fact. One individual, his mom is out in Queens, and his father-in-law is in the Adirondacks, and they're wanting to gather his family down here, so and stuff like that. But there's a decent level of
The building has looked nice so far.
Yeah, well, it's shaping up. Now that it's, I've got a skin on something.
Yeah, when the mansion's done. It looks smaller now. Next to the other buildings.
Yeah, walking through it,
I remember the original plans. Like, oh,
does it have blue ceilings?
No, they blew out the second floor.
Originally, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, it used to, I could touch them, and if I could touch the ceiling.
I was banging my head on something old when I was.
Oh, wow.
Wow. It was an old building.
I think it's going to look nice when it's done. Bonnie Duncan from United Way is anxious to occupy and provide services for not just residents, but, you know, township general residents.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, to get points on that two-way fee, you had a promise to offer four social service residents. So this is financial counseling, tax structural. Well, yeah. Sue can tell you more about it than I can.
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's great.
Yeah. So hopefully it'll be a real community center in a larger sense than just the university. That's it. Oh, you may have an application come forward. There's a gentleman who has a distillery, a Fairmont Distilling in Fairfield. He's in the due diligence process now to acquire a lot in between the Metropolitan Seafood and the YMCA. About a 16-acre sort of farmette. Mm-hmm. Older couple is selling and moving to Lebanon Commons. And he's thinking of a 6,000-7,000 square foot distillery, some rack storage and bourbon and stuff, and using the grain that's raised on site for at least a big part of it.
In addition to microbreweries and Highbridge and soon Lebanon Borough, so a lot of things happening in local booze.
That's alcohol central right there.
Retail aspect too, or is it just tasting room?
Yeah, I think you get tours and you get it's like the microbreweries.
Right. You know. And some places they push the tasting room thing pretty far.
Yeah.
Well, he's in a warehouse up in Fairfield now. But he's been looking for 2 years and we had a good meeting with Highlands. They're on a preliminary basis. It's treated like a wine from an agricultural perspective.
Oh, okay.
Identical to the application.
Cool.
So we'll see what
that
happens.
That'd be a good use, though.
Should we have to approve anything? I think we're going to have to sample some of it.
annually, right? As a condition. The judge will love that condition.
Quality
product. All right. Ordinance subcommittee, no. Open space, anything?
Open space has been a little quiet. The hunting program, did that start on the 8th or the... Well, it's underway, let's put it that way. So I haven't really heard anything from that. Rich Shaw, our chairman, is out hiking in the far west someplace. But he's going to be gone for about a month of his life. So we skip this thing.
Okay. I actually went to the Environmental Commission. They invited me, and I made it.
Woo! You got an email.
I got an email. So not too much.
I hope you didn't wear that tie.
Not too much, no. They looked at some comments on a Baker site.
Yes.
Behind the car dealer, which they were generally okay. They made some recommendations to consider. Mm-hmm. They're looking at ordinances around single-use plastic bags.
Ugh.
We tried to encourage them to encourage the neighboring towns that have the big shop stores like Franklin and Reddington to really take action. But they also want to provide some education with the, folks try to avoid single.
I guess we have, what's the place? I can't. Place on 31 by Spruce Mountain. Used to be the old shop, right?
Odd Lots.
Yeah, we don't have any, like, big retail.
We don't have any big retail.
Yeah, I mean, the state is going to be pushing this. I don't know that the local level needs to, but I mean, whatever.
Which was kind of the discussion that we had. Was just, and then they always have a talk about Windy Acres and what their vision is there. Their biggest general belief is, minimal
impact some hiking trails.
Mm-hmm.
They expressed the concern about the potential demolition of the old house.
Oh, really?
They were happy to hear that it had been referred or asked to the historic folks to at least look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they also understand the concern that it's hard to maintain a building out there for someone.
Right.
It's very deep in the large parcel.
Yeah.
Groups would say they're interested in it, but they never can come up with the money to be able to maintain it and secure it. And
exactly.
So,
you say it's the middle of a big track.
You made me think. The township has applied for financing from Exxon for a grant to help with an environmental education program centered on Windy Acres. And it appears something like 95% probable that they'll write a check for 40-some-odd thousand before the year is out. And I've asked Jesse to reach out to the combo now is the Raritan Headlands?
The headwaters, right.
The South Branch and the other one. So and see if they would like to help develop a program, maybe get them working with the Environmental Commission.
That would be nice. It would be a nice way to get some funding and some support for some programs or
kind of
pieces
positive outreach,
So
beautiful see on screen.
Did they ever get around to replacing that bridge?
I believe it's replaced.
We put a Butler Bridge in. A military sort of quasi-permanent but temporary structure. Just dropped it right on the old bridge. It's longer than the old bridge, so it wouldn't collapse. and then built it up with some, quarry process so that you effectively have a ramp coming and going. And good sturdy bridge. The demolition contractors that cleaned everything up except that were traversing some heavy machinery.
Was that with open space funds too?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was why we changed the referendum.
We were told not that long ago, but for a long time that it was going to be millions and billions of dollars.
Well, new bridge was $250,000. Yeah. This one was, I want to say, the bridge itself was like 30 or 35. What happened was that every racetrack I'd ever been to get into the paddock in the center, the cheapest thing in the world was an old Butler bridge. And this mentioned it when Jesse took off the line.
I think it's a great solution. Considering we were looking at alternate ways around.
Open up that site.
No, that was always the issue, is that it's a great site. Obviously, we own it, but how do you get
to
people,
it.
How do you increase access to it with the community, the residents? And the bridge was always an issue.
Yeah, so I think we'll probably have some, like Kevin said, some very modest improvements, a shelter pavilion kind of thing, and some Boy Scout stuff, another Boy Scout platforms, whatever they call them. So one of the hitters from the regional Boy Scout office has been out a couple of times. Jesse's getting the well and the electrical and the energy. So we'll have to figure out that house before we actually send the first people out there. The plan is kind of coming together, very low impact. And very natural.
So would they consider doing something like the Round Valley, what's it called, Round Valley?
They have the Sunrise Services.
That's what I'm thinking.
A pavilion like that, I think, or some of the ones that you see over by Gordon's High School across the street in the park. Mm-hmm. So you could have a family picnic or something like that. Rented for use it for a day, reserve it.
Okay. Anything else? So.
Motion to adjourn.
Second question.
Steve.
She looked very helpful.
All in favor?
Deuce.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.